reportedly, quote, beyond livid at Michael Jordan for portrayal in The Last Dance.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
He's upset. You have Horace Grant ripped MJ. La, la, la. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like men. He then went on to talk about the accusation of being called a snitch. Horace Grant said, well, if I'm a snitch, what is MJ for airing out the 84 Bulls and their cocaine circus? What does that make him?
A hypocrite.
Airing every day
from noon to 3.
Horace said he's the snitch. Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch, to see a guy, a leader, to go at guys like that. I understand in terms of practicing you have to push and shove here and there, but outright punching and things of that nature and calling them B's and H's, that wasn't called for.
1340 WKG.
What are H's?
I'd imagine hose.
Hose?
Yeah, like for yard work.
Why would he call his teammates hose?
That's an insult people use.
It is?
Yeah.
Men to other men?
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you that. You a hoe.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. I want to remind you about Starch Madness. Go to fanrunradio.com. Click on the Starch Madness logo. That will give you a coupon to go to Crown Cleaners, our friends over at Crown Cleaners. You take them three shirts to get cleaned. They will clean a fourth for free. They're a longtime Fan Run sponsor. Local biz needs help your summer. Help the people who help us. If you need your shirt cleaned, go to fanrunradio.com and get you the Starch Madness coupon. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, collision course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The Saints' Noah Spence suffered a torn ACL during quarantine training. The team has signed another linebacker to replace him. So the newly signed pass rusher, familiar with Noah Spence for the Saints?
I'm unfamiliar with who Noah Spence is.
I've heard that name.
He's good.
Who did he play for?
That's crazy. I didn't hear that at all.
Noah Spence. Well, he's the new pass rusher for the Saints, and he has apparently torn his ACL.
Did they just sign him?
He became the first player to suffer a major injury while attempting to stay in shape during quarantine.
He didn't play with them last year.
I think he was a Buccaneer.
He was a Buccaneer in 2018. He was a Redskin in 2019. So yeah,
he was the 39th pick in the 2016 draft.
He's the guy that got kicked out of Ohio State and then went to Eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
Is that who?
And then fell a little bit in the draft.
How do you know that off the top of your head?
Sports are like a religion to me.
Wow. Look at Charlie. Impressive.
I don't know anything else, but like random sports stuff, it just fills my brain.
That's typically the kind of guys that get into this business. He's like the new intern Andrew.
I mean, he said he was like really good. I don't know if he's actually really good, so I mean, I don't know. He acts like he was really good with the Saints, and he hadn't played with the Saints yet, so like, I don't know how much
I didn't say with the Saints.
I don't know how much credit we're giving him. This guy keeps bouncing around, you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't say with the Saints.
Well, I don't know how good he actually is. I mean, I don't. He's a pass rusher. He had one sack last year, zero the year before. So, like, I don't.
He oozes potential.
Who was the old guy?
He sung himself on potential.
What was that old ESPN show? They showed it on ESPN.
Stump the Schwab.
Stump the Schwab, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you know I was thinking of that?
Because you were talking about ESPN trivia.
What if who would win in the Stump the Schwab? Do you think you would be the king, the Schwab, of just random sports? I mean, just take like the real junkie nerds. Like Charlie says, that's what he is.
Depends on the era we're talking.
I was thinking like intern Andrew too was kind of like that.
Yeah.
Do you think you would trump everyone at the station in terms of
sports?
Just random
knowledge?
Random knowledge. Who won the 1997 World Series?
Like if we get into like 90s, 80s, and before that, I'm screwed. But
that would be the Yankees.
Let's take a look.
They won from 96 to 2000.
Four in a row?
Yeah.
I thought they just won three in a row.
No, they won.
I would be the guy just questioning everything and being wrong about it. Let's see.
Or wait, was there a Marlins championship sprinkling in there? Hold on.
They won in like 2002.
No, they won in the mid-90s, too.
Mm.
Was there a Marlins championship in 97?
There was.
Yeah. Was it 97?
Yep. But you were right. The Yankees won four out of five, 96 to 2000, and then the Marlins won that one in 97.
Yeah. I remember watching that at my cousin's house, yeah. So they didn't win four in a row.
They won three in a row. Okay. Yeah, four out of five.
Then they went to four in a row and they lost to the Diamondbacks, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
Were they going for the fourth in a row against the Diamondbacks?
Yes, they were. Okay. They were.
Is that Randy Johnson?
Yeah. And with the Diamondbacks.
All right, Charlie. 2005 World Series winner. Managed by Ozzie Guillen.
Was that the White Sox?
Yeah.
I guess that was, give the manager, I guess that was pretty easy.
Yeah, when you give the manager away, it's pretty easy. Imagine how salty Cubs fans were in 2005.
In 2005, oh yeah, God,
they're waiting decades.
They don't even recognize the team on the South Side,
and then they win a World Series. It'd be pretty tough to swallow.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, you got any more headlines?
Yeah, I got a couple. The basketball tournament, aided by a health and safety plan, is set for July. The event that has featured former college stars and overseas standouts competing for a seven-figure prize will proceed this summer with the assistance of a comprehensive health and safety plan to minimize the risk of the coronavirus.
Yeah, so that's the one where the Tennessee alumni team is getting together.
The Volunteers.
The Volunteers, I think, have the second best odds to win. So I think they're
really,
or maybe they don't have the second best odds to win. Maybe in the power rankings they were slated at number two. Whenever they put their own power rankings out,
it will host
behind Aaron Kraft's Ohio State team. That's pretty damn good. So it'd be cool if we get to play them. But I thought it was interesting. They said that basically if somebody on your team tests positive for the Rona, they just eliminate your team. Like, you don't play. Like, they're not quarantining. They're not doing anything like that. It's a single elimination tournament. 24 teams are playing in it. So if someone tests positive on your team, they are eliminated. So look for Tennessee to get knocked out in the championship after Aaron Kraft has sent someone to get a Tennessee player sick.
Coach Duggs is 6-0 after defeating Florida and Georgia over the weekend.
Okay. Shout out to Duggs.
Update there on Gus Dugerton. Defeated Georgia 35-30 last night. And Tennessee now 6-0 on the season, getting ready to play Auburn tonight. That's big news.
Speaking of Auburn, they just got another big commitment. Auburn gets a four-star offensive lineman, Jaden Roberts. He's the number 8 guard in the country, top 150 prospect.
Okay.
Tigers now have the number 20 recruiting class in the country. Just came across the board. We were talking about Auburn, so I figured I'd go ahead and...
Well, let's stick with Auburn. Oh, former Auburn grad, Charles Barkley.
We have another Auburn story.
Charles Barkley says that Turner execs told him the NBA is 100% coming back.
Yeah, the NBA is coming back. We know that.
Yep. Well, Charles Barkley confirmed. That's what he says.
Thank you, Charles, for confirming.
No problem, John.
That's terrible, Charles.
No problem. No problem, John.
Is that supposed to be him?
Yeah, that's terrible, Charles.
No problem. That's terrible. No, that's terrible. No,
I feel like
no
you
got
to use some terribles to.
That's a terrible problem.
Ernie.
Trying to do a Charles Barkley impersonation is a terrible, terrible thing for me.
Yeah. I'm more of a Ernie.
Hey, can't win them all.
It's sad to see because usually you are pretty good at impressions, but that was.
I could work on
one
it.
One of the worst I've ever heard in my life.
I could figure it out. I mean, I've never done one until just now.
I can tell.
I mean, it's not so hard that when you just say terrible. Everybody says
you somehow
terrible.
Made it sound terrible. You somehow made it very tough.
That's terrible, John. I'd have to work on it. Uncut Gems is on Netflix now.
Have you watched it yet?
No, I haven't. That's a very polarizing movie, isn't it? A lot of people either like it or don't like it.
Did you watch it, John?
It doesn't seem to have
a
lot
of theaters.
It was just so stressful.
Like, yeah, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good. I mean, I think it was a little overhyped because it was Sandler. But A24 makes weird movies, so, like, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. If you didn't like gambling, maybe you wouldn't like it as much.
Mm-hmm.
It had, like, that Captain Phillips vibe where the whole time you're just tense.
That's the way I felt. That's the way I described it, too. But I've seen some people now that it's got to Netflix, you have other people that didn't really care enough about it to go watch it in theaters that are now weighing in saying, oh, this is overrated. Have you seen it yet, Cody?
I haven't seen it, but I looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes, and apparently the critic score is great, and the audience is like 50-50.
The audience is
50-50? The audience score was like 52% or something. So to me, it seems polarizing, and that's what I've read. Like half the people think it's just great.
The critics have it at 92, and the audience has it at 52.
Is it one of those movies where like normal regular people wouldn't like it, but like people who think they have a big movie brain would like it?
I don't know.
So.
Like I said, A24 makes weird movies. So like if you don't have any respect for A24's production, or like know kind of what to expect. Maybe if you don't like gambling, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I could definitely see like where people wouldn't like it. And like, honestly, I saw that it hit Netflix and I hovered over it. Like I was going to rewatch it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not in the mood to rewatch it. So like, it wasn't one of those I was like pumped to see again. So.
Is it like a thriller?
Yeah. I mean, it's just tense.
That's what people say. It's
intense. Like I said, it's a gambling movie. He's in debt. He's got people hunting him for money.
So you're like, is it a jumpy kind of, you're on the edge of your seat, like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like
kind of a ride.
You got to, like, limber up before because your muscles are just going to be tight the whole time.
That's really the way I was in theaters. But like I said, I've seen a lot of people say they didn't like it. And I'm surprised to see it at 52%, honestly. That surprises me.
Fair to say it's polarizing.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to tell you it's great. Like, I don't want you to go watch it thinking I'm, like, singing its praises.
Well, that's the thing. Some people say it is great, though.
I understand the people that think it's great. Like I said, there were great moments to it. But, again, a part of me thinks this is overrated because it's Sandler, and it's just, like, such a weird role for Adam Sandler.
A lot of people say it should have won an Oscar, or it should have been at least nominated. Maybe not
for movie?
Maybe not one over
Parasite.
I thought
he might have should have been nominated. But he wasn't even that great in it, honestly. I mean, like, he's fine. Like, he's good in it, but...
Is it because we expect so little out of Adam Sandler that when he does something real, and it seems better than it is?
Probably.
I thought he killed it.
I mean, yeah, he was good in it. He was good in The Meyerowitz Candidate, too. Like, he was good in that, too. Like, I like him when he goes a little bit more serious. Like, not a lot of people give it credit, but one of my favorite Sandler movies is Funny People. You seen that one?
Mm-mm. No.
Where he's like, he basically plays himself.
Should be easy.
Like a young comedian that gets really famous and then sells out and just makes really terrible movies and cashes checks. And then he finds out he's dying. So then he like wants to go out, like do stand up again, like and just kind of reinvent himself.
Yeah.
Get back to like his, like where he used to be. So he hires.
That's called what?
Funny People. He hires Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill to write jokes for him.
Sounds like it would be pretty good.
I like it. I like it a lot. But it's like just more serious Sandler. I mean, he's still funny in the movie, but it's more serious, like, hey, I'm dying type of thing.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it, but I understand that people didn't.
Last headline, the match this weekend between Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady.
How much of that did you watch?
Just what I watched with you when I was having my meatloaf sandwich.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just
when I went home, I watched like the last four holes.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of the rest. But it drew an average of 5.8 million viewers. It's a record for a golf event on cable. The most watched golf telecast in the history of cable TV. Raised $20 million for charity.
So that would disqualify like all of the majors. At least like rounds 3 and 4 of the majors.
Yeah, because those are going to be network.
Network, yeah.
Yeah. But this was the most
the Ryder Cup
golf event on cable.
Is the Ryder Cup usually cable or no?
Let's see.
For some reason, I feel like the Ryder. I mean, it might be the same thing. The early rounds are on cable, but the. I mean, 5.8 is a pretty big number. Like that's pretty gigantic for a cable. They said they're gonna because of the success of this, they're gonna try to do it every year. Peyton and Tom Brady won't be included every year, but that they will. Get other athletes and celebrities to play alongside them. Tiger, Phil, and two partners.
The Ryder Cup matches were always covered by the BBC.
Well, yeah.
Let's see, in recent years. NBC reached a deal to extend rights with the Ryder Cup. Golf Channel and NBC have combined a total 30 and a half hours of coverage.
Okay.
So
Golf Channel doesn't really count because not everyone has it and not everyone can find it.
13 and a half hours on Golf Channel and 17 hours on NBC.
Okay. You got any other headlines?
So a lot of network for the most part. That's all I got.
All right. Got some Tennessee updates. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Whiskey River, take my mind. Musa Cisse? Is that how you say his name? You heard of this guy? Musa Cisse? You have any idea who Musa Cisse is?
No. I have no idea who Musa Cisse is. Is he Italian?
Are we talking about like a recruit?
Yeah, he's a recruit.
Basketball player?
Basketball player.
Power forward?
Italian?
6'11", so maybe a power forward, maybe a center. I don't know.
Musa Cisse?
M-O-U-S-S-A.
IMG Academy?
I don't think it's IMG Academy. He might have transferred to IMG Academy, though. Let me look where he went.
African?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that the guy that had the call with Calipari like a week ago, and now he's going to have one with Rick Barnes?
I don't think he's having one with Rick Barnes, no. This is a guy who was supposed to be class of 2021, but he's reclassifying to 2020, and he is announcing his college choice next week. And he is a 6'11" beast. He plays right now in he plays in Memphis right now, and is set to make his decision on where he wants to go. He's the number one player in the state of Tennessee. He was supposed to be class of 2021, but like I said, has reclassified.
Okay, I see him now.
I know I said I had some Tennessee news. This isn't it. This is potential bad news, because the schools that he is thought to be choosing from, you really couldn't find a worse list in Tennessee's favor. Kentucky, LSU, Florida State, Georgia, Memphis, or Georgetown. Like, I guess you could swap Georgetown for Auburn, and it would be worse.
Yeah, at least Bruce is not in on him.
Yeah, like, swap Georgetown for Auburn, and that might be the worst possible list you could have. I know Florida State doesn't really matter, but, you know, Kentucky, Memphis, LSU, and even Georgia. Like, I don't want Georgia to start recruiting at a high level, although Tom Crean showed us last year that it doesn't really matter how much talent he has. He's just not very good. But he says he is making his decision next week and is, quote, trying to find the best way to the NBA.
I'd say go to Kentucky.
Well, if he goes to Kentucky, that's kind of a problem, because Kentucky would then have a, you know, what they kind of need right now, correct me if I'm wrong, is size. Like, they lost Nick Richards, right? Nick Richards is gone.
Well, this guy is 6'9 with a long wingspan.
No, he's 6'11 now.
Oh, he's 6'11
now?
Yeah,
he's 6'11 now, according to ESPN.
Well, doesn't he have size? I mean, he's slender, but he's got size.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was just saying he's grown 2 inches. You said 6'9". I was just saying they've listed him 2 inches higher now.
Oh, still growing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 17. I mean, he's a junior in high school.
Wait, what? So what year? Like,
he was supposed to be 2021, but he's reclassifying. He's able to finish his. Yeah. So whenever he announces, he will be going to that school in the fall. So like he will be in whatever school he decides. And right now, the experts, crystal balls, whatever, have him thinking LSU. But to me, if you say I'm focused on getting to the NBA. Does your answer not have to be Kentucky? Like, if that's your biggest thing, like,
right.
I understand Naz Reid made the NBA, but he was a second round pick. And I mean, he played some for the Timberwolves this year. But Naz Reid, I don't think anyone would say he maximized his potential while at LSU.
No. I mean, if you want to go to the NBA, Kentucky's a factory. They basically just take you out of there. I mean, you go to the NBA just because you played at Kentucky.
I think I would retroactively like to say, like, Matt Harms, the Purdue guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just go to Kentucky instead of BYU. Let's just battle with that guy instead of this
potential.
That guy's
soft.
That's what I'm saying. Let's let Harms just come into Kentucky, please.
Well, Oliver Saar is going to be a problem if they can get him eligible. The guy from the transfer from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they got a center and a power forward in this class, but neither of them are. Like,
how big is the center? Because I didn't think they had
the center's only 6'9".
Okay, I was going to say.
The power forward's also 6'9".
I was going to say, I didn't think of them in the same like traditional big man. You put somebody 6'9 down at center, like, you could do that in college basketball today. But this guy, this Musa Cisse, like, he's obviously raw. You know, coming from Africa, he says he played soccer growing up. He's kind of like Joel Embiid in that sense. Like, I don't – like Joel Embiid, you know, was late to basketball, and you know that's why he was such an interesting prospect. And I'm not saying this guy's the next Joel Embiid, but I'm just saying like this guy is someone who has been getting better and like getting, you know, as he gets more equipped to basketball. But it does look, according to the scouts and the people grading him and just hearing his own quotes, the one thing he says he feels comfortable doing is blocking shots. He says that comes natural to me. Just having a lot of hustle and a high motor around the rim, I block a lot of shots.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, they compare him to Diallo from
Yeah, and that doesn't really scare me here, you know, hearing
Houston.
Yeah, him being compared to Chick Diallo. Like I don't know what that really does for me. But when I read, like, he's blocking three or four shots a game, and again, it's high school and there's a different level of competition. But, you know, as he gets better at that, that seems a little scarier. And then you can put those 6'9 guys out on the wing or, you know, as your yeah. as your other four. And that makes me feel a little bit nervous. But, yeah, that offer list just seems about as bad as it could be for Tennessee. Again, maybe move Georgetown to Auburn.
Come on, Georgetown.
Yeah.
Drop the bag on him.
Come on, Georgetown. Or Florida State. Like, Florida State, they has Florida State put anybody in the pros lately? Like, I know they just got a lot of athleticism.
They throw in some second rounders.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know if again, when you tell me you want to get to the NBA, I'm like, Kentucky seems really good at that.
Leonard Hamilton, just back up the Brinks truck for him, please.
Let's do it, Leonard. Get the job done. The only official visit he got to take before COVID hit, because, again, he was a junior and, you know, wasn't planning on doing this, was Florida State, but did take unofficials to Memphis and Kentucky, which is kind of weird because they're saying he's most likely to go to LSU, which means maybe Will Wade is just, you know, like, hey, I'm just going to keep dropping bags off until you do something to stop me. I'm just going to keep paying until you stop me. But there is Tennessee news as Rick Barnes is set to talk to another five-star tonight. I don't know if they're going to Zoom or what, but he will visit digitally with his five-star he's after, Kennedy Chandler, and his parents tonight, which, you know, Tennessee is all in on trying to get Kennedy Chandler, the stud point guard from Briarcrest. So we'll do a little digital recruiting tonight. Thoughts, Cody?
A little digital recruiting tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good. That's tremendous. Kennedy Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Kennedy Chandler?
The five-star point guard from Briarcrest.
Yeah.
The one we've really been after. We really want
him. So we're going to do what tonight, digitally?
Yeah, we're going to do some digital. Virtually. We're going to virtually meet
with him,
with Kennedy Chandler and his
parents. Who, Rick Barnes is?
Yeah.
And like Sam. A Zoom call or something?
I guess so. Well, that's all the rage these days, right? The Zoom call?
Yeah. See if we can get the Zoom code. Just hop in.
I'll talk to some people, see what we can do.
Oh, that's cool. Hope it goes well.
I mean, we do need it to go well. Like, I mean, this guy, Tennessee, is putting all their eggs in this basket. They really want this point guard.
And they're expected to get him, yeah?
They like where they're at with him. I wouldn't say they're expected to get him.
He's the best point guard in the country, according to the composite.
Yeah.
The number 13 overall player.
No, he's a stud. He's a stud.
Yeah, we talked about him last week, yeah.
Duke, I feel Kentucky, like, yeah, I mean, his
Memphis,
offers.
UNC.
Right, like he's with all, you know, three blue bloods, Memphis and Tennessee. So, like, his home city of Memphis, his home state of Tennessee, and then three blue bloods.
Right.
And then we talked about Kansas and Villanova.
Yeah, so if we get him, that's a pretty big win, land a guy like that.
And Tennessee likes where they're at with him. We'll see what happens tonight. We'll see, you know, I don't think we'll get an announcement anytime soon or anything like that, but Tennessee continues to push to recruit this guy.
Do we think Rick Barnes is going to be good on the Zoom call?
I think Kim English will be. I think Barnes.
They need to just let the football recruiters try to land him, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I wonder, like, could you do that? Is that legal?
Oh, I'm sure you
just make Niedermeyer our designated athletic recruiter.
Yeah, like, you know, get somebody that's job is just recruiting for the university. Does it work, or is that would that be in violation of laws? Like, you can only have so many recruiters on staff and all that. Like, can you have just like a university recruiter? I guess those guys are just called bagmen, right?
Who's gonna know? I say if you're Niedermeyer and T. Martin, right, just hit this guy up, you know. Say hey,
we're over in Memphis checking out some football recruits.
I mean, you see guys all the time, like get promised that they can play two sports in order for them to land in one sport. You know, like football and basketball have worked together before, or football and track.
I mean, do we think that would even be beneficial though? The football coach is talking to a basketball prospect that doesn't want to play football.
I don't know. Maybe tell this guy, hey, you want to play a little receiver? We'll let you out on the field.
The parents probably won't like that for the number one point guard in the country.
Yeah, we'll let you run through the team.
We're gonna go one and done here. Like we're gonna try to get to the pros next year. I don't really want to go play slot receiver. I'm good on that, coach. Thank you, though.
All right. Well, we'll give you a bag full of cash.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Love to have it. Thank you.
We got a lot of money circulating through the football program.
We have a lot of money. I would imagine there's a lot more money circulating through the football program at all SEC schools, except maybe Kentucky, versus basketball.
We don't mind to share a little.
What would the allotment be? Let's just say they gave you $2 million of cash.
$2 million?
To funnel through recruiting. I mean, do you think that's way too high?
Oh, no. I thought you meant for one player.
No. I'm saying, like, how much do you think an average SEC school? I'm not going to say UT because I don't want anybody to get mad and think we're accusing just our school of cheating. But
right, because we don't cheat.
For one recruiting cycle for football, how much do you think the big schools in the country are paying prospects for one cycle?
I'm going to say a lot more than $2 million.
Really? For one class?
That
would be an average of, I mean, just like $185,000. I mean, somewhere around there, like. 25 would be 200,000, but then you get to 2.5 million. So, I mean, somewhere around there, however you need to make up that other.
I don't know. Maybe not.
500,000.
Maybe 2 million is about right. Or maybe a little more than 2 million.
Maybe
175,000
maybe, or 180,000.
I don't think it's less than 2 million.
Charlie, how much do you think recruiting class in the SEC or the Clemsons of the world, how much are they having to drop a bag off?
Yeah, a little bit more than 2 million.
See, I don't think everyone in the class is getting that much.
No.
I mean, like,
not everyone.
Basketball, though, those players get paid more. You go on a trip and you get a backpack with $250,000 on it, and that's that.
Yeah, that $250,000 number I don't think is a stretch at all for, like, big-time, huge, huge players.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a figure we've heard before?
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that the number that got thrown around for Cam Newton?
Yeah, and that was 10 years ago.
Right, I mean, that was even longer than that, right? Was it 10 years ago? Yeah, I guess either. Give or take. Yeah.
10, somewhere in there.
Wasn't that the number thrown around, $250,000 for his dad's church?
Yeah.
And they couldn't even really do anything about it because it's just a donation to the church.
And that was what Mississippi State was going to pay, right?
Yeah, so who knows
what Auburn actually paid? Yeah.
So, I mean, 25 commitments in a football class, $2 million would give you $80,000 per player to spend. I mean, that seems high, right?
Well, you got to think you're paying players that aren't actually signing with you, too. Because you're giving guys money on visits that might still go somewhere else.
Okay.
You think they're just handing out cash on visits?
I wouldn't think 100%. I wouldn't think you're getting much, though.
Not that big time. I think to actually sign.
$1,000 here or there? Like, I think if you come on there, like, you can find a way to get $1,000.
The $1,000 handshakes.
Yeah, like, you might get those, but you're not getting more than, like, $5,000 or $10,000 before.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking
you might be able to get it and commit and then decommit, and like that's just money you can make that way. But
you got to take care of everyone that comes to visit, just so your reputation.
I'm thinking you got to sign solid. First
everyone,
to get the big money.
Take care of everyone.
Well, the main, like the 4 and 5 stars, no matter if they're signing with you or not, when they come on campus, you got to take care of them financially.
Well, you're
going to
show them a good time
reputation.
And maybe give them some money. Yeah, give them some money, but it's not going to be like
the big money. Yeah,
you're not going to give a guy $250,000 just for coming to campus, you know. I'm thinking that big money that goes
UConn
to
UConn might. Did you see what UConn was doing?
No.
Did you read that story on Sports Illustrated about UConn? And like they're getting ready to have to cancel a bunch of programs, they think, like because like the financial crisis.
Right.
And so Sports Illustrated went and was just basically like, we feel bad for these schools, blah blah blah, but we shouldn't because UConn did this to themselves.
UConn football or UConn basketball?
Yeah, just UConn's athletic department. At UConn, the athletic department at UConn is running a deficit in excess of $40 million from last year.
Holy cow.
And they did some numbers. They broke it down to, like, the contract they had with Randy Edsall, where they were just giving him the most random bonuses. Just because, I guess? Like, UConn, I don't feel like anybody was really wanting Randy Edsall. After Maryland, right? Like, I don't know why he has, like, they have such an affinity for him. I guess they had that one good year of UConn football.
Yeah.
But they would do things like give him $2,000 for scoring first.
It's like when you're playing NCAA 14, you get the little XP bonuses.
That's
for
basically what they're doing.
Opponent under 50
rushing. They gave him $2,000 for scoring first, which I don't think it's that's that big of a deal in college football games to score first. Like,
no.
How often did he even score first?
Randy
or
Edsall,
score at all?
Randy Edsall was receiving the kickoff every time. Like, we want the ball. We're going on offense first. He'd get $2,000 for scoring first. He'd get $2,000 for having a better red zone percentage than his opponent. He'd get $2,000 for leading at halftime.
Nice.
They says he pulled in over more than $200,000 in bonuses while going 6-30. He also received a $300,000 retention bonus, as if someone else was going to hire him away as he was going 6-30. But maybe here is my favorite stat. In the 2018 season, where UConn went 1-11 and broke NCAA records for defensive futility, Edsel and his coordinators received $84,000 in bonuses.
Wow.
He's still there, right?
At least they knew how to make their money, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Edsel's still there.
Man, he backed into one BCS bowl game.
Yeah, he had that one year. And
I think he still only won like 8 games that year and got smoked in the bowl game.
Yep, that's what they're talking about. He went 8-4, won the Big East, and got trounced by Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. And then, you know, since then has been pretty terrible. But they are talking about just how terrible UConn's been ran since that moment. So you look and you just see the bonuses and the money he's thrown around. So maybe you will have some dumb schools just given, here's $100,000, just please come visit campus. Here's 50 grand, just come and take some pictures with our coaches that make it look like we're recruiting high-level athletes.
Isn't UConn about to be an independent because they left and no one wants them?
I think that's accurate. I think the conference is like, cool, we're good. We don't want you.
Yeah, like they left for the Big East in basketball, and then they're like, but we can stay in the American for football. And they're like, no.
So big-time SEC schools, big-time, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, just throw all the elites in there. What kind of budget do you think they have of bagmen for football? You think $2 million for 25 prospects?
Yeah, it's probably a good place to put it. But I would say, like, if you land any 5 stars, maybe half of that money is going to those guys.
No. $1 million to, like, 2 5-stars, you think so?
No, I mean, not just that. Maybe not that few. Like, I don't think anybody's getting $500,000. But, like, I think there's probably, like, high 4 stars, so 5 stars, who, probably getting 100,000.
Georgia, who's landing 6 5-stars, they're probably giving them at least $300,000 a piece, right? You would think.
Probably.
Yeah. So then you look at that's already $1.5, $1.8 million.
Probably.
So what do you think?
That's crazy to think.
What do you think basketball is?
I mean, like Charlie said, the high-end basketball guys probably make more. When you talk about, like, the shoe money and all that stuff.
Yeah, but most of those guys are getting it from shoe monies and not the universities, which is why a lot of these universities have skated so far. They just do the back alley deals with the shoe people.
So as far as what they're actually getting from the universities,
yeah,
probably not.
Well, I'm just looking at, like, the bag money, the bag budget.
I bet Kentucky's got a system, you know?
So let's just say $1 million for basketball. That's probably too much, but let's just call it $3 million total for football and basketball.
Probably. Do you think,
hypothetically, we'll just say Tennessee's budget for dropping bags, $3 million for both basketball and football in a given year?
Maybe more.
Sure.
Maybe more. Let's just call it $3 million. What number of $3 million? Keep in mind you have to get 25 football players. What number would you pay for a Kennedy Chandler for a year of him?
In basketball?
Yeah.
And number one point guard in the country. This is coming out of my football budget, too?
This is coming out of your total athletic budget. You get $3 million to spend however you want.
I mean, I'd probably give up $250,000 for him.
Yeah, so I'm almost 10%.
No, not when you factor in. I give up $100,000.
That's more than I thought you would.
I weigh football.
No, I mean,
more than.
I thought you were going to say nothing. Like, I thought you were going to say like $10,000 or something.
I'd like to have. I like watching good basketball. I mean, if we could have a Final Four contender,
I don't know about our highest rated recruits or whatever. Like, I don't know, like, in basketball who our all time highest rated recruits are. I mean, we can look that up during the break.
I know.
You do know?
Mm-hmm.
Who was our highest rated recruit? Was it
highest rated all time in basketball?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You just said
Scotty
knew.
Hobson's one of them.
Tobias Harris?
Is he our number
Tobias
one?
Tobias Harris
is
one of them.
I think he might be our highest.
Neither
one of these guys from last year topped them?
A couple of those guys we've got from last year's class are top five.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, they're right there. But I know Hobson and Tobias are two of them. And it wasn't like Ronaldo Woolridge really highly rated?
How do you look this up?
I'm
looking it up.
Look it up and tell me who the highest all-time commits. I got it already. Tobias was a .9978. He is the best. .9978. Okay, so he is better than Kennedy Chandler just from the composite score.
Was it Ronaldo Woolridge one of them?
I mean, Ronaldo Woolridge, not in the top nine.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
No, I mean, he was a highly rated guy, I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, he had the name value.
But those some Josiah Robert Hubbs has got to be one of them, I would imagine.
Yeah, Woolridge was all the way down at 18th. I mean, he was in there, okay. But not.
Well, I'm thinking of – was it Duke –
Duke no. Cruz was a highly – he was a five-star, wasn't he? Yeah, Duke Cruz – no, he's a high four-star.
We had some guy that never panned out.
Duke Cruz was that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Hubbs. You might be thinking of Robert Hubbs as well.
Yeah, Robert Hubbs, he's probably top five.
He's number five, yeah. And that's after Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson pass him.
So, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson are both considered two of our top five best commits ever.
Two of our top four. Three and four. They are number three and four.
And the others are Tobias,
who was a lottery pick, and Hobson, who, you know.
They also played on the same team.
Hobson was pretty good by his junior year by the time he left.
I love Scotty Hobson.
He always kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but
that 360 dunk against Arkansas was one of my favorites.
Okay.
I loved that.
So, I mean, Kennedy Chandler would be right there with basically the two guys we're bringing in right now, Springer and Johnson. But he's the number one point guard, and we think that he is elite. And I think having an elite point guard would be pretty fun, just somebody who constantly has the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd spend $100,000 of your budget?
I'd spend $100,000.
Charlie?
$200K.
So you're giving up exactly, well, I guess we made $3 million, so you're making.
It's like 9%, 8%.
No, I mean, I'm going to set my budget at $100K. But
$7.5 million, I think.
I'm going to set my budget at $100K, but then if you told me we got to spend $175 to get him, I'll go ahead and spend $175.
I don't think that's how budgeting works. You double. You almost doubled
good,
already.
I've never been good with money.
You're going to start your offer low. Okay, we'll go all the way up. We'll go up $75,000.
If you'll come here, we'll give you $175.
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
But in my mind, I'm thinking I'd like to get him for $100K.
In your mind, you're not going to be like, well, let's just see how this next recruiting class goes in football. Football's, I might need that $175K to try to get Mims. Like, I might need to sweeten the offer on Mims.
No, I think a blue chip basketball player like that would be worth. I would take him over.
Well, I think the singular impact is more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the singular impact is more. But
the point that a point guard can have on basketball versus an offensive lineman.
But
football.
If you have $200,000 in football, do you buy like three players and hope they pan out?
Can I buy a different coach in basketball? Like, if it were to come down to
not for $3 million, bro. No. We're in the big leagues now. You guys spend six or seven now.
I'm just kidding. I like our coach.
All right, stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Do we think that Tennessee have they done the same type of brand building for their basketball players? Like, I saw them tweet out Pons. You know, playing the sax.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was good. I mean, he wasn't that good at the sax, but he was still good enough where it was cool.
What a weird idea.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird idea, but, like, it helps Pons, I guess, become a little bit more of a, I don't want to say, like, connect with the fans a little bit more, but it gives a little bit more of his personality. Like, we don't hear him talk much, so.
Well, they did stuff like that with Grant and Admiral, too.
Yeah, they pushed Grant and Admiral a lot. Like, we haven't really done that yet with these players is what I'm getting at.
I mean, they've kind of done it with Folky a little bit with his
Folky
trips
pals.
To pals,
yeah.
And you know, they've done some stuff.
Okay,
I don't know if they're doing it as much as football players, but it's easy. It's easier for them to basketball players to stand out, though.
Yeah, no, I wonder, like, whenever this does get into effect, where you can make money off your likeness, will basketball players, despite not being as watched? When you look at, like, TV ratings and all that, like, and the passion not being there, would a basketball player's endorsement matter more than a football player?
It seems like a starting five basketball player could be just as prominent, even though they're not in the bigger sport, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
wouldn't Grant Williams have been worth more money than almost every football player individually?
Yeah, I think
so. Like, maybe Juwan Jennings, but I mean, like, Juwan Jennings – personally probably wouldn't have been as endorsable as Grant Williams just with off the field stuff and, you know, just kind of having a little bit more of an edge to him than Grant Williams.
I think Folky could be worth as much as most football players right now.
In terms of the guys on the team right now, I mean, I think if you ranked Tennessee's athletes in terms of visibility and likability, like, yeah, you – Folky's in the top five probably. I mean, and I'm not saying he's five. I'm just saying top five as I weigh through it. He's probably number one on the basketball team, right, in terms of
– Maybe not for long, though.
Maybe not for long. No, like, yeah. These five stars who get here, although, will they have enough time to surpass him in likability and marketability?
If they're good.
If they're just studs, though, that, like, you know, are just going to be one and done, and you've had 4 years of Fulkerson and, you know, kind of have seen him.
I think
him.
I'd take that over Folky. Like, if one of those guys is a Wooden Award type player,
sure,
like,
sure.
You know, if you have a real, real stud,
okay,
comes in and he's like a Ja Morant or sure, something like that, you know, then I think for sure,
okay,
that surpasses Folky. But
I do think that has to go into your equation. As Jason writes in, like, you know, if you are divvying up your bag money, like, if you pay for the right five-star basketball player, you only get him for a year, whereas you can get the football player for at least three.
Yeah.
That's going to your bag equation as well.
Well, that you factor it in a per-year basis, one bag per year.
Oh, is that how you think that's how it works? I don't imagine
They think they're getting the whole bag? A football player, you think he's getting one bag at one time?
That's a good question. I've never thought about that. I would assume so. It immediately goes to the family and whatnot. But then I guess, yeah, what happens if a transfer?
What if they run out of money?
Yeah. Or if they transfer? Like,
yeah.
Would that be smarter business to be like, hey, we'll give you this spread over 3 years, but then what happens if you can't play and you're like, hey, you know what? We're not going to do this anymore.
Transfer is an interesting aspect.
I know.
What if there's an offensive lineman who, like, went to one SEC school
and
got a big bag there.
His dad cut off a part of his pinky, maybe.
Theoretically. And then he went to another SEC school. Does he get a second bag? You know? If that happens, if I'm an elite player, maybe I just try to transfer as much as possible, get as many bags as I can.
I don't think you – I would say you don't get it for the transfers.
I think you get one big bag when you first sign, and then from then on out you just get taken care of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple handshakes here and there. Yeah. You need something else, let me know.
You need a new car, maybe.
You think you're going all the way to a new car? I was just going to say,
maybe,
like,
maybe they hook
Western
you up a
Union
bit.
$600 or $700.
I think we've all
here.
Seen the cars.
Yeah, I mean.
We've seen the cars.
They all drive the same car from the same place.
Some guys.
Here in Knoxville, they do?
I'm not.
Not here.
I don't know
here.
If they do anything like that here. You know, there's cars that. At SEC,
every time
other SEC schools, for sure.
I mean, I know Alabama's got the Chargers, and I know Clemson, you know, had the whole thing with T. Higgins posing in front of cars, but I don't necessarily agree with that part.
Seen the guys in the cars.
When I've seen players driving, though, like, they've all had different cars. Like,
I've seen guys
used to
in
live
nice
next,
cars.
Well,
I don't
live
know
next,
if they own the cars.
I used to live next to Drew Richmond, and he just drove, like, a regular Honda Accord. Like, he was just driving something normal. Like, I saw Garantano at a red light. I mean, he was driving a nice Jeep, but it wasn't nothing crazy. I've seen guys out driving before. Like, when we did the Shiano protest, Joanne Jennings came by and blew the horn and was, like, riding up and down. And he was just in, like, a regular low-end car. Like, it wasn't nothing crazy.
Like a Honda Civic or something?
Something like that. I don't remember what it was. But, like, it was nothing that was like, oh, wow, that guy's got it back. But then, like, when Juwan Smith got here on campus, I remember he was pushing, like, a really expensive car. But then they're like, oh, well, his family, if you know the story from Cleveland, maybe there's something else there, like, type of thing.
I've seen some guys in some nice cars. But maybe they just borrow – maybe they're borrowing the cars.
Yeah, maybe you can
maybe
lease
just,
it,
like, for the weekend.
Maybe
like
cheap, something like
they
that.
They have something worked out with, like, for a weekend or something. Like, yeah, you can take the car out, you know. Like, maybe it's a coach-owned car or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was just going to say, again, those are just three or four people I've mentioned. But, I mean, you look at Jennings was a high recruit, was a important part of the team. I guess not in 2017. Maybe they took his car away whenever he got in trouble with Coach O. Maybe that was a part of the – it was after he was kicked off the team, so maybe he had to return the car. Richmond was a five-star from, you know, from
in-state. You would have thought if anybody got some special benefits, it would have been Richmond.
Now, you know – living downtown in the loft, so I mean, like, you know, maybe the housing was – there was some rumors about that with Butch in terms of, like, housing and stuff. But the car, I will say that, you know, I parked next to him often, and it was nothing special. Like, I mean, it was a nice car, but it wasn't
– Yeah.
Hey, you dropped a huge bag off for me, or you're giving me a nice car. It wasn't nothing like that.
Maybe you get to pick. It's like a prize room at a bowl game.
You get a house.
Do you want the downtown loft, or do you want a –
The nice car.
Yeah.
I'm definitely taking the downtown loft. Give me the loft over the I'll drive a Civic. That's fine. I don't know. Maybe that's what it comes down to. I know Fulke drives like a nice Tahoe, big jacked up Tahoe. But I think a lot of people know that because he's got Fulke on the license plate.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he think he has Michael Jordan?
I guess so. I've seen him before though.
Is it like a family car, maybe? Because I'd imagine Papa Fulkerson.
Yeah, it probably.
I would imagine Papa Fulkerson also goes by Fulke, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely. I'm not saying he's, you know, it probably is a family car. I've just seen him around before.
Okay. Interesting. What's one big five-star worth in basketball?
Depends on how much you want to win. Depends on who you are. I mean,
they're worth a couple million.
Oh, no, I just mean like.
Oh,
well,
like paying?
Nah, let me rephrase the question, or let me, I guess, go into a little bit more detail. In football terms, what is it worth? Like, what is the trade-off you're willing to make? Like, 2 4-star defensive players?
For a blue-chip best basketball player on your team.
What is called Kenny Chandler, number one point guard in the country, would be your best player. The thing is, you're probably planning to only have him for a year. Most likely. Now, every now and then, those guys will stay 2 or 3 years, but I feel like it's a little bit disappointing if they do. And quite frankly, if you give me the option of Kenny Chandler being a like 2 or 3 year SEC player that was really good, or just like a phenom that left after 1 year, I'd probably sign up for phenom that left after 1 year because I think that'd be really fun, and we haven't had one of those yet. Which I know Tobias said after 1 year, but like he wasn't a phenom. He was just a guy with good potential that went at the end of the lottery.
I mean, if you could – like, I got to take my chances on him, right? You can't, like, guarantee me
I'm not
an Elite
guaranteeing
Eight or something.
That he is, yeah, nope. I'm just getting – you're getting the number one point guard in the country or taking 2 4-star defensive players. You can put them one at defensive end, one at linebacker, however you want to do it. Not the same position, though.
You're guaranteeing he's a first-round pick?
No.
No?
I'm just
taking my chances.
He's the number one point guard in the country, which usually equates to first-round pick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say he's worth 2 4-stars.
Charlie, you're taking...
I'd say a 5-star and a 4-star would be the equivalent.
Nah.
I mean, the impact that one player can have on a team in basketball is just so much greater, though.
Impact of a great football team on my fandom is a lot greater than a great basketball team.
Is it like a quarterback that's the recruit? Are we talking like
I said defensive player.
Up a 4-star safety.
I guess you could put your 4 stars at either. You could put them on either side of the ball. Just either side of the ball.
I'll give up a 4-star safety and a 4-star linebacker.
You would rather have a 5-star Kenny Chandler?
I think so.
That's surprising for me to hear you say it because, like I said,
the more I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if I would.
I think of you more as the I care mostly about football.
I do care mostly. I care like 70-30 about – no, I care like 80-20 about football. So you know what? Maybe I wouldn't do it. At first, I was like, I think I would do it, but maybe I wouldn't. Because Derek Barnett was only a 4-star, you know?
Sure. Yeah, imagine if I'm telling you that it's a 5-star football player. You're
but Dwayne Hendricks was also a 4-star.
Right. There are a lot of buzz.
There are a lot of buzz
4-stars. Now, like I said, if you want to make it a 5-star player, there's a lot fewer of those 5-star buzz. They're out there, but...
Okay, I'll do 2 4-stars. I'll trade the 2 4-stars.
Okay.
I'll take Kennedy Chandler over 2 4-stars.
Okay.
But that's it. That's where we cut it off.
What if I throw you a 3-star in at the back end?
Yeah, I'd probably still do it. But if you start talking 3 4-stars, that's where I'm at, I think.
I do think the conversation about the tipping point for fandom is fascinating.
What do you mean?
Just like what on
what,
the scale?
What would
like,
you trade?
Because we haven't had one of these guys. We just that's one thing that we're missing at Tennessee.
Yeah. Like, would I trade 2 Diet Cokes in the fridge to have a medium pizza right now? Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one. Yeah. A medium pizza?
I mean, even just a medium like Domino's. Yeah.
Black Box?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely trading for the Black Box.
Yeah. I'm fully prepared for us to get Kenny Chandler and then have him go to the G League next year instead. Get $300,000 to go play in the G League. I'm fully prepared for that. Because it's a really tough battle. Like I said, we're going against Memphis, Kentucky, Duke, UNC. You're going to beat those guys out, but then can you beat the $300,000 and $400,000 offer from the G League?
Yeah.
We'll see how this experiment goes this year, but, you know, Tennessee and Rick Barnes and staff set to talk to him. We'll see how it goes. We'll keep you updated. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.